has joined.
Anna
has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
So we will begin. Our study tonight is Deep Zohar class from the Sulam Commentary on the Zohar. We're studying Parashat Vayera, Pasuk 345, after the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud, Kutcha Barichu, Ishkin Tevib, Kilu Urchimu, Kilu Ud, Kilu Urchimu. L'Akta, L'Shem, Yudhei Bavavhe, V'Yichuda, Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, L'Imud Torah Mitzvah, L'Asuk Torah Mitzvah, Vaihino Amadunai Lohino Elena Masaya Deno Kanane Elena Masaya Deno Kananehu. Pasuk 345. Ela Avraham La Sami Al Garmeya Kulum Vecha Ma Shekin Ta Tadir Tadiura Nisara Wila Aade Taman, Ugin de Hawat Taman, Asmech Avraham, Wa Amara Tokoti, Eo Kima Dictiv, Emor Lachma, Ahoti At Ugin Ka Amara Hoti, Ea. The English translation. And he replies, Abraham did not rely on himself at all, but saw the Shekhinah dwelling constantly in Sarah's residence, from which he never moved. And because the Shekhinah was there, Abraham relied on her and said, she is my sister. As it is written, say to wisdom, you are my sister. This means that the Shekhinah is also called wisdom. Therefore, he said, she is my sister. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Why is the Shekhinah called wisdom? Due to the eventual unity of all the Sephirot, wisdom will lower itself to unify with Malchut, which equals the Shekhinah. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Is the she in with a capital letter referring to Sarah or to the Shekhinah? Because this time I read it, it's more like it's the Shekhinah.
Well, it's a good question.
And it also made me think about the time when Esther went before the king, but every time it's, you know, in some reference, I think it is King Ahasuerus, but at other times it was really the king, Hashem.
Well, whenever it says Melech Ahasuerus, it means that it's King Ahasuerus. Mm-hmm. And whenever it says king without the name Ahasuerus, it means Hashem. And the same thing is here. Because Sarah is the Shekhinah. Sarah is Malchut relative to Abraham, who is Chesed.
Right.
But the ultimate goal after the Mashiach, the world that is coming, is when wisdom and Malchut have unified, which means all of the 10 Sephirot, or 9 Sephirot, are unified.
That puts new meaning to the scriptures that say that wisdom is crying out, you know, in the city.
Correct. It's exactly the new meaning. It's
So now we know et, the little word et, also is a code word. Ikna. So now we're learning some more code words.
Exactly.
Oh, and sometimes it was the bird, too.
Correct. And that's the amazing essence of what the Zohar teaches us.
Mm-hmm.
These code words, if we could only remember all of them. So when we read them in the Torah, we'd say, oh, that's what the code word is. But it's so hard to remember even some of them. But that's why we read the Zohar. That's why the Zohar repeats itself so many times.
Mm-hmm.
It's all interrelated.
I told y'all maybe a week or so ago, whenever we go into a hotel, you know, the room number always has some meaning for me. And I think I made the comment of saying Shema when I go in, and I think I asked a question about the bed and all, and you did real good at explaining all of that. But then I realized that our room number was 300, and I thought in terms of perfection, you know, the three columns. It just didn't dawn on me that 300 is a shin. So actually, there was a concealed shin on that hotel room.
Correct.
So that's a good example. Sometimes you don't see the forest for the trees, something that's really obvious and you miss it. But you think of it in another frame of reference. So that was a good example too, I think, of
Well, the number 300 also relates to the name Elohim when it's spelled
right
out with Yud. So when the Hey is spelled Hey Yud. But I believe Malka wanted to say something.
I was making an observation when we said about the hit, the bird, and that maybe we should take pause when we do see those prepositions and pronouns that it is, you know, in reference to what we were talking about here.
That's correct. It's a good observation. Whenever you see a pronoun in the English translation, you have to be very clear what's being translated and how it's connecting.
Articles, pronouns, yeah.
Well, see, because it follows, normally we think of a pronoun being referenced by the noun in front of it. And it's saying Sarah's residence, so the tendency was to see she referring back to Sarah. And then right at first, with a capital, you think, well, okay, so there, if it's in reference to Sarah, Sarah's name naturally, all names begin with a capital letter. But then also the Shekinah is capitalized too. So you have to take a double take on that verse.
Right.
And then remember the word sister, too.
Yes.
And bride.
Mm-hmm.
at 3:46.
Okay.
Vayavo Elohim El Avimelech Wigomer Puki Kudshabarihu Atala Gabaihu Virashi Aya Kimaditi Vayavo Elohim El Bilam Vayavo Elohim El Avam Elahu memana shaliha deit pakta alaihu hawa begin de kuru karav de shalihuta nadle shema da umisitra de dina kachan real daviavo Elohim El Avimelech Vachalom Halayla Vayomer Lo Nchimcha Meita Meit Al Aisha Asher Lekachta Vigomer. But Elohim came to Avimelech. He asked, could it be that the Holy One, blessed be He, visited the wicked? As it is written, and Elohim came to Bilam, and Elohim came to Lavan. And he replies, this was only a governor, a messenger, who was in charge over them, as every nation has a celestial governor. When angels complete their missions, which they receive from Hashem, they are called by the holy name Elohim, because they represented the aspect of judgment, and the name Elohim is an indication of judgment. This is why it is written, but Elohim came to Elimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man for a woman which you have taken. Referring only to the angel that governs his nation, and not to the Holy One, blessed be He. The commentary. This pasuk is clear as written, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. When one reads Elohim in the Torah, we need to ask, is it a large E or not? A large E indicates Hashem at the level of Geburah, and not Chesed. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I think that's why sometimes we see the definition of Elohim as mighty men. You know, I used to always get the question with students who were not Jewish, and you know, they take Elohim to represent the Trinity because it was plural, and so by bringing in other definitions, that kind of wasn't putting them down in any way, but it brought out the other meanings that Elohim, there were many Elohims, you know.
This verse is being very clear that Elohim is the name of an angel, but only after they complete their mission. They have other names of a god attached to their mission, like Michael. Michael's mission is not complete, so he is not yet called Elohim. Gabriel, his mission is not complete yet, so they don't attach Elohim. But the name Kel is what's powering. That's the passion that we spoke about this afternoon on the Sefer Yetzirah class. Mm-hmm. That's the passion that's being attached. It's the energy that's sourcing empowering the name Micha or the name Gavri. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Anna. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm trying to remember. Is it after a mission is completed that then the angel goes through the fire and is burned up?
No, but the angel goes through the fire when his action is incomplete, when he's made the mistake.
Okay.
He doesn't need to go through the fire if he completes his mission. By completing his mission, he's exchanging the name Elohim for whatever name was powering his action.
And what do you mean when the angel doesn't complete his mission? Does that mean he's gone against Hashem?
No. It just means he didn't complete his mission. He was given the name, in some cases, he's given the name Hashem, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And that's the energy that for his mission. And he's given the name of his mission as his name during that period. But if he does, if he completes his mission, then that the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is changed to be Elohim. But if he doesn't complete his mission for whatever reason, then he will go through the cleansing fire of the river of fire, Dinur, Esh Dinur.
But we don't know why they would not complete their mission, because I thought the messenger of the angelic being has one mission. He only takes one mission. Hashem only gives him one mission to do, not multi missions. So
correct.
I don't know why that angelic being would not complete his mission. If he's got the energy of Hashem, what would cause him not to complete it? I know, I understand that Gabriel and Michael, because they're not finished with their mission.
But what if the angel is given Hashem's name, and he's the mission is to bring a certain human being to do a certain action? Well, he can't really coerce the human being. All he can do is present him with the opportunity. But if the human being doesn't do the action that the angel is charged to get him to do, then he doesn't complete his mission.
Okay. So it's mankind that has gone against the divine presence of that angelic being.
We can say that it's man who went against the angelic being, but that's really not an accurate statement. Let's use as an example the development of Marie Curie, the woman who identified radioactive decay and radium. She got that instinct to follow that technological development from an angel, from a thought that was given to her. And let's say she didn't do it. Did she go against it? No. She just had free choice, and her free choice was not to do it. So the angel didn't accomplish its mission, but the human being did not make a mistake. She just lengthened the process. If she doesn't reveal the idea of that, then somebody else does.
Okay. So when an angel is put through the fire, then does that divine spirit or divine entity comes back into another angelic being?
The plan of creation will always manifest. It just doesn't necessarily manifest through that human that was chosen. The angel was sent to motivate that human to do the development, and the human through free choice says, no, I'm not going to do it. But the plan of creation will always go through. Sometimes it will be a more rapid action. Sometimes it will be a longer action. But the plan of creation will never fail, ultimately.
Right, but the angelic being that's burned up in the fire, does it not exist after that failed? Like, not completely
no,
that mission?
The angelic being can never die. It's eternal. But the concept of going through a river of fire is as if it dies. So yes, it's the same being, but the failure affects the angelic being. And so going through the river of fire, it brings that angelic being is brought back to that level of being a pure servant of Hashem. Because the fact that it failed is going to be detrimental to its mental, I'm using human terms that may not be valid, but it's obviously would be detrimental to its perception of itself, just like it would be to a human being. So the idea that going through the river Dinur, the river of fire, that process is considered death for the angelic being. On another level, the angelic being can never die. It can never cease to exist, but it can change stages of development. And that's the meaning of a death for an angelic being. I hope that's clear.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of like a renewal for the angel.
That's what I described, but in different words.
I know we had a strong lesson of that in the Sefer Yetzirah, and I missed that lesson. So need to go back and reread that one. We also had it in the Zohar or either advanced reincarnation class, I think, too.
Yes. We're out of time unless you have other questions. You all have a good evening. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol.
Thank you.
Shalom.